الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد My most honorable and dear brothers, just a brief introduction on our guest speaker, Hazrat Maulana Sheikh Tawqir, Damat Barakatuhum. You know, sometimes with the demise of our seniors and elders, sometimes we become despondent. But when you look at the ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, that you must remain with the pious persons. So this gives us hope that we learn to realize and we learn and understand that there will be those gems and those great diamonds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose amongst His servants and make them become sulaha. And they will become those people who will ignite the hearts of others. So alhamdulillah, our guest is a disciple and a student of Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Damat Barakatuhum. And who doesn't know Hazrat, so I'm not going to go into the life of Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Damat Barakatuhum. But our guest is a very young person also, alhamdulillah, in a sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with great accompanying Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Damat Barakatuhum. And Hazrat has seen the other part of life as well. I rather put it in that way. In the sense that Hazrat is a computer engineer by profession, was a computer engineer by profession, holds a PhD in engineering, in computer engineering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the suhbat of Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Damat Barakatuhum since 1999. And then being in his company, Hazrat Maulana Tawqir Sahib stayed in the US, and then he spent some time in Libya as well, and has been now staying in Dubai for the last 7 years. And alhamdulillah, by the hukam of his sheikh, not the hukam of his sheikh, but the sheikh showed some indication and said that now you should free yourself for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat was in a position of managing, you know, a multinational company across 3 continents. So we can imagine what a great sacrifice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Hazrat, that he is now sacrificed his life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the last 2 years traveling in the 4 corners of the world, igniting the hearts of other people with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, we are very honored today that Allah has blessed us with this opportunity to sit in the company of Hazrat. Let us open our hearts, let us listen attentively, and let us make this niyat and intention that inshallah, whatever lessons we have learned here today, inshallah, we'll try to implement this in our life. Allah give me and you the tawfiq, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم الحمد لله I'm so fortunate, I feel honored to come and just sit in this masjid, honestly. Our mashayikh have said that wherever there are asar of our akabirin, just going and sitting and taking the barakat of that place, subhanAllah, sometimes it is enough to change our hearts. This is the reason I'm sitting, honestly, otherwise I'm not worthy that I sit here. Alhamdulillah, I could feel the anwarat of this place. Just a few things before we start. Is that whenever Mashayikh come and they talk, They don't talk without a reason. There is a maqsad, there is a reasoning behind things. And first thing is that we should always sit in their company, in their majalis, with an open heart. You can have open ears, but you should rather also have the open heart, so that you can absorb every single thing that is said. Because they are not only words, but rather also there is the nur of that nisbat that they have with their mashayikh that is transferred with those words into the hearts of the people. But those hearts that are attentive hearts, not every heart. There are many people who came in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because they did not come with the open hearts, they did not absorb the nur from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, etc. But whoever came with this intention that if he is the right prophet, I'm ready to accept him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their hearts and they accepted Islam and they got the nur from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well and became sahaba. So first thing first, we must go into the majalis of the mashayikh with this intention that I'm going to absorb the nur that is in their heart, that nur of nisbat that their mashayikh have given to them. Talking about myself, we have a lot of shortcomings. But when our mashayikh give ijazat and khilafat to another person, they actually transfer that nur into their hearts, as if they are giving them a lamp. As if they are saying, alright, take this lamp and take it to people. And let the people come and benefit from this light that is I have given to you. That's it. We are also struggling and everybody is struggling. But then this responsibility, with the giving of that responsibility, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits others whoever come and sit in their company with open hearts. So some people, alhamdulillah, I'm happy that it has not happened so far in South Africa, but when I go to other places, there are some places who would be asking for topics. What topic are you going to talk about? And we do give them, but honestly, it's not about the topic. What's in the topic? Even if you've heard a thing maybe 100 times before, so what? I've been, alhamdulillah, in the company of my Shaykh al-Mawlana al-Fukar, Ahmad Dawud Barakatuhum, and I've possibly heard the same thing from his blessed mouth over and over and over and over and over again, possibly maybe hundreds of times. But it has never bored me. It has never, every time I've listened to that, I always listen as if I'm listening for the first time. Right? And this is what our intention should be, that what is in the topic? We go to the majalis in order to absorb the nur that they have been given by their mashayikh, the nur of this nisbat. This is the intention that we must go with. And then when you do that, then one moment in the company of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to change our hearts, if we go with the right intention. Every word, as I said, is as if it's the cure for my spiritual disease. Hazrat Maulana Shafi'i Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he writes that as if every single word is a cure for my spiritual disease. Right? If you go to the doctor for your disease, say for example somebody has a heart issue, he goes to the heart specialist and the heart specialist will write him a prescription drug. You go to the pharmacy and you get that drug, right? And you take it and that helps. We all have spiritual diseases. All of us. Right? Myself, everybody have spiritual diseases. People are arrogant. People have jealousy. People have ill feelings. People don't have that sincerity. People lack tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People don't have that zuhud. People don't have that gratefulness in their heart for the blessings. People are not patient on the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes, on the calamities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them with, right? These are all spiritual diseases. Going out of bounds when people get angry, screaming, shouting. All of that. All of us have some issues. So these diseases, how do we get cure for these? We get cure for these diseases by sitting in the company of the mashayikh, by sitting in the company of the people of Allah. And every single word that comes out as if it is a cure, as if it's my prescription drug. As if it is my prescription drug, and I should take that, absorb that. It is, every single word is for me, not for anybody else. SubhanAllah, some people, you know, when somebody is sad, and they're looking around, I know if my friend is listening as well or not. Huh? We speak about arrogance. Oh, did Ahmed come? He is arrogant. Oh, I'm happy that he's here. My friend, what about you? What about you yourself? Is there more arrogance than this, that you are thinking about others, and you are thinking yourself as better than another person? It's arrogance, isn't it? This is our problem, that we are not taking things as if it is for me, as if it is for somebody else. So please, this, I just wanted to remind myself and everybody that what intention should we sit with when we sit in the majalis? Oh, these are, I know that, I've heard that, right? These are the things that have been said many, many times. So what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has repeated things over and over again. Sometimes there are things that are mentioned on every single page, every other page. And you wonder, you know, I just read that, and now Allah Ta'ala is repeating that two pages later. This is the nature of human beings, the need reminders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on every single Friday, He has accepted that people will pray two less rak'ahs of Zuhr, but rather He has included that people should listen to the khutbah. Why? Because this is the nature of human beings. So please, these mawa'iz, these durus, these bayanat, these talks, they are not just talks. They are cure for our spiritual sicknesses. And there is something that comes along with these words. And people, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to be here in this masjid tonight. And inshallah ta'ala, we have a hope that, you know, we will inshallah ta'ala benefit from just our sitting together. I benefit from you, and may Allah Ta'ala make you benefit from me. So this is what we should do every time we sit in anybody's majlis, anybody's bayan. This should be our intention. The ayat that I recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the people who are salihin, who are righteous. Walana, is it going on? Just put it here, don't put it there. Put it right by me. That's fine, just put it right by me. It doesn't work like that. That's fine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the caretaker, He is the wali. Well, wali is a very interesting word. Wali means caretaker, it means protector, it means a friend, right? The way that our Hazrat, he explains this word is that he says that, for example, imagine that there is a small little child, say for example an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, he goes for an Umrah trip with his parents. He's about to go. One of his friends come and he says that, oh, he tells his friend, I'm going on Umrah. He says, oh, you're going for Umrah. When is that? He says, tomorrow. All right, did you book your tickets? He says, no. He says, oh, did you book the hotel? He says, no. Did you pack your bags? He says, no. You're telling me you're going for Umrah tomorrow and you have not booked your tickets, you have not booked your hotel, you have not packed your bags, and how are you going tomorrow? He says, you know what? My dad took care of everything. My dad booked the tickets. My dad, he booked the hotel. My mom has packed the bags. This is wilayat, guardianship. Father and the mother are the guardians. Right? That they took care of every single thing that I am in need of. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, He is the guardian, He is the protector, He is the friend of the people who are righteous. Yani He takes care of every single thing that these people are in need of. Allahu Akbar. Yani people are not, they don't need to care about anything, they don't need to worry about anything. What a strong statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. So whenever people are righteous, whenever people, what is righteousness? Righteousness is that we absolutely submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is righteousness. Our problem is that many of us, we try to follow deen. No doubt, mashallah, all of us are in the masjid. Is it transmitted over this speaker? Many of us, we follow deen. Alhamdulillah, we have come for Maghrib prayers. Mashallah, I'm so happy to see the masjid was almost full. Very happy. But our deen is very limited deen. And we pick and choose deen. We grow a beard, we put a topi on, right? We put a cap on, wear our imamas, wear our jubbas. But sometimes our deen is just limited to that. Very unfortunately. Pick and choose deen. We don't know that deen is not only that. Deen is also ikhlaq. Deen is also character. Deen is also controlling our anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that people of Allah are those who control their anger. People of Allah are those who forgive others for the sake of Allah. And what we do, subhanAllah, I've seen so many issues in families. Somebody doesn't call another person on their birthdays and they, oh, why didn't they call me on my birthday? So much so, subhanAllah, what happened was that I was in Chicago and a family invited me and my wife over the meal for dinner. Or sorry, we invited them. We invited them for the meal. So my wife, she called the lady of the house, the other house, that you are invited for the meal. And I thought, you know, message has been transferred. So the family knows and they accept it. But subhanAllah, you know, on the day of the meal, the husband, he came and he dropped his wife. And then he said, oh, you know, I have to take care of something else. I'm very sorry, I cannot come. I said, please come. I was expecting you. No, I have to take care of something. Apologies. And he went. And later on, I found out that this gentleman was angry at me, that why didn't I call him to invite him as well? And I was so shocked, honestly, that he had that issue, ego issue, that why didn't I call him personally to invite him as well? This is our issue. We get angry at small little things like that. This is our attitude. People don't control their gaze. People step outside the masjid and there might be a woman walking around and people start staring at them. People go home and they watch their TVs. Somebody came to me and he's just spent 4 months in Jamaat, mashallah. And he asked me, you know, I cannot keep my kefiyat. What should I do? And subhanAllah, I was in his house and there was such a big, huge, this screen right in the front and he's watching these Indian Pakistani dramas every day and possibly movies, and how can you keep the kefiyat, my friend? Right? People have picked and chose their deen. This is my deen. My 40 days, my 4 months, my three days a month. This is my deen only. My beard, my topi, my amama, my hijab, my niqab is my deen. It is deen indeed. But that's not the complete deen. Complete deen is far more than that. Complete deen is controlling your gaze. Complete deen is controlling your ears. Complete deen is controlling your tongue. Complete deen is controlling your lips. Complete deen is controlling your desires. That's complete deen. How many are the people, especially young people, who are not married and they're not able to control their desires and they fulfill their desires by themselves? To be very honest. Right? Any noor that we accumulate by coming into the masjid and praying with jamaat, all of that noor just goes out. As if somebody has squeezed our heart. And we feel so hollow, so empty. Everybody has picked and chosen deen. SubhanAllah, they are so upset when their wives don't respond to their desires. And they are thinking about all of those ahadiths that, oh, you know what, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on that woman who rejects. But what about other ayat? What about wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, that you have to deal with your wives in the best of the ways? What about that hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, khayrukum li ahlihi subhanallah. The best amongst you, the criteria of your being good is that if you're good with your wife and your children, that's the criterion of you being good man. Not your topi, not your amama, not your tahajjud, not your fasting. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. And then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. And I am the best amongst you with my family. Don't forget that. This is my sunnah in other words. And we have picked and chosen our deen. My deen is just this much. We only remember the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is according to my nafs, the desires of my nafs. So my elders, my friends, you know, deen, righteousness means complete deen. When people have complete deen in their life, that is the moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. He is the protector, He is the guardian, He is the friend of those people who follows 100% deen. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَأَفَّ. Enter into submission, into Islam, into deen, 100%. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Not 99%. Not 99.5%, 100%. Hazrat gives a very beautiful example. He says, you know, we have these smartphones. But they're very smart. SubhanAllah, these youth, you know, they don't watch filth in front of anybody, their parents, but SubhanAllah, they have these smartphones. And they are watching all of that. I don't know what sort of data packages do you get. Because I went to the UK and I go there very often. So there was a data bundle, say data all you can eat. Yani you consume whatever data you want. And what are they consuming at? Browsing internet and watching all of that filth, YouTubes, Facebooks. SubhanAllah. Very smart. People can hide, you know, thinking nobody is looking at them. They forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does look. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows the mistress of the eyes and what is hidden in the hearts. So Hazrat says that, you know, these smartphones, we all, normally most of us keep it locked, right? Say if there is a 4-digit passcode that you use to unlock the phone. You put 3 digits right. But if you do not put the 4th digit right, do you think that it will ever get unlocked? Never. Never. You try it. You do whatever. 3 digits right, 1 digit wrong. Hazrat says, exactly like that, we leave 99% sins, that 1%, that 1 digit that we are putting wrong, it is not opening the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our problem. That 1 digit, that 1 sin, that we cannot leave. And everybody has their own issues. Some people come, oh, I cannot control my gaze. Some people, I cannot control my anger. I cannot get up for fajr. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. So everybody has this one issue. Well, many, but one definitely. We have to struggle for that. And unless and until we struggle for that and let it get out of our system, you know, we cannot see the barakat of Islam. We can never see the true barakat of Islam. Honestly speaking, majority of us, if not all of us, have not yet tasted the true barakat of Islam. Here is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. You know, he is walking on the mountain of Uhud and suddenly the earth starts shaking. Earthquake comes. He hits the earth, the ground with his foot and he says, why are you shaking? Doesn't Umar do justice on you? And the earth stops shaking. Allahu Akbar. He is sitting, he is in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving a khutbah. Suddenly in the khutbah he said, Ya Sariyat al-Jabal. Oh Sariya, look at the mountain, look behind the mountain. And Sayyidina Sariya radiallahu ta'ala anhu, thousands of miles away, is fighting, he's in the battlefield, fighting with the army. He hears Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's words. In the battlefield, he looked on the other side of the mountain and there was enemy ready to attack them from the other side. He orders his army to attack there and they win the battle. Here, taking the voice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu thousands of miles away to one of his companions. What is that? It is written in the books when the Sahaba reached Egypt. Who was that? Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Then when he reached there, he saw that there is one very strange thing happening. These people have a very strange tradition that every single year the river Nile will stop flowing and they would take one young girl, would kill the girl and put the blood of that girl in the river Nile and then it would start flowing. Very strange tradition. So he says, shirk, what are God is doing? So he said, nobody is going to do that anymore. And he writes a letter to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Madina Munawwara, that this is what I've done. Is it right? Did I do the right thing? Sayyidina Umar writes at the back of the same letter, he says, O River Nile, if you flow with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I order you that you flow. And if you flow with anybody else's permission, then do whatever you want to do. They took the letter back, they threw it into the River Nile, that letter. And that day and today, River Nile has never stopped flowing. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he's control over the earth. Then the earth is fulfilling his commands. The air is taking his voice. The water is listening to his commands. What is that? Once the fire, there was a volcano that I think got erupted, that fire had came into Madina Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was told that the fire is coming to earth. He said to him, Sayyidina Tamim Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and push it back. So Tamim Dari is saying, how can I do that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, look, take this cloth and you know, just push it back. And he goes at the command of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he pushes it. And the fire goes back to where it came from. These were Sahaba. They are not fantasy stories. They are true stories. They were people like me and you. They had seen the barakat of Islam. Why? Because وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their caretaker. He is their guardian. And we can go on and on. Subhanallah, we spend like another 3 hours talking about, you know, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected people, me, people like me and you. We will be all amazed. Right? Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam. We all know the story. It is in the Quran. First thing first, you know, where is she coming from? Her mother. The wife of Sayyidina Imran alayhi salam. When she was in the womb of her mother, she made a niyat that I will dedicate my child in your service, Ya Allah. And she was expecting a male child. Subhanallah, we also intend for male children, isn't it? Boys. What's our niyat? Budhape ka sahara banega. He will take care of us when we become old. Or the virasat will not go out of the family, not go to the extended family, right? These are the, oh, I have a big business that I'm running. Oh, if I have a boy, then the business will remain in the generations. It's not going to go and spread outside in the extended families. Ajeeb niyats. Here is the wife of Sayyidina Imran alayhi salam making a niyat. Rabbi inni nazartu laka ma fi batni muharrara fataqabbal minni. Ya Allah, please accept. I vow, make a vow that I dedicate my child in your service. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a girl. So many of us, we have girls born in our family, you know, mashallah. So sad. Honestly, in this time, people get sad. Muslims get sad at the birth of the girls. Are we in the time of Jahiliyat? In the time of Jahiliyat, in the times of ignorance, they would get sad at the birth of a girl. They would go and bury the girls alive. Subhanallah. There are people, there are women who say that, oh, you know what, I have done my scan and it's a girl and my husband is asking if I can abort the girl or not. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Subhanallah. May Allah protect it from this state. Honestly, it's jahiliyat. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if somebody has 2 girls and he takes care of them, does their tarbiyat, and gets them married, teach them deen, get them married, he said he will be with me in paradise like this. With me. And he joined his 2 fingers. Subhanallah. Girls are blessings. That was a side note. But Sayyidah Maryam alayhi, so Sayyidah, the wife of Sayyidah Imran alayhi salam, when the baby was born, oh, inni wada'tuha unsa. Ya Allah, give birth to a girl. Allah Ta'ala says, I know. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُمْسَى Boys are not like girls, I know that. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, you ask for acceptance. Allah Ta'ala says, I have accepted. I have accepted this girl. She named her Maryam. And Subhanallah, Maryam Alayhi Salaam dedicated her life for the worship of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And her uncle, Sayyidina Zakariya Alayhi Salaam, He decided to take care of Sayyidina Maryam. Now whenever, so he would provide food and she would worship in the mihrab, and whenever he had to go out, he would make sure that he provides enough that Maryam is taken care of. One Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam was out and he got delayed. And he provided food for a number of days. Now he is worried. Very worried that, oh, how would Maryam eat? I was supposed to go back and you know, she might not have food. And when he comes back, what he finds that not only Maryam has food with her, but she has unseasoned fruits with her. No refrigeration, no transportation, no aeroplanes. She has unseasoned fruits. Like for example, mangoes in winters. Right? So, he got amazed. Ya Maryam, anna laki haza, where did you get these from? And she's like, oh my uncle, why are you so amazed? Huwa min indillah. It is from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. He can give rizq to whoever, whatever he wants. Allahu Akbar. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of people. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala has mentioned this story for a reason, that if you also become person of Allah, I will give you unseasoned fruits. I will give you unseasoned fruit. I don't want to talk about a story because it's one of my favorite stories. But we have limited time. But you know what? When the mother of Musa alayhi salam gave birth to Musa alayhi salam, and she was scared because Fir'aun was killing every single baby boy. And Allah ta'ala put ilham in her heart that you throw the baby in the water. Throw him. Imagine, baby boy who can't even turn his sides by himself. She fulfilled the order, threw the baby in the water. Fir'aun took him out. Fir'aun is his people. He took him out. His wife said, all right, let's make him our son. And he agreed. MashaAllah. Fir'aun agreed to his wife. When he was killing every single baby boy. Today's wives complain our husbands don't listen. Fir'aun is listening to his wife. And subhanAllah, if we still don't listen to our wives, then it's a food for thought. That means we are worse than Fir'aun, isn't it? So Fir'aun said, alright, brought the baby home, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I made haram on Musa alayhi salam, the mother of, the milk of every single woman. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَادِ مِنْ قَبْلِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I made haram the milk of all of these women, who the wet nurses. Now all these women were brought and they were putting him and he refused to drink anybody's milk. So the sister of Musa alayhi salam, who was ordered by her mother to go and look around what's happening with your brother. She looked at all of that and she came forward and she said, should I tell you about a family who will take care of this boy? And Fir'aun by that time, Allahu Akbar, he was, bring somebody, because he was crying, the baby's crying, isn't just bring anybody. So she went back home, brings her mother, and as soon as Musa alayhi salam went to her mother, of course he started drinking milk. And now Fir'aun is saying, oh, you know, please stay with us in the palace, I will give you compensation. And she said, you know, my house is my house. I'm not staying in the palace. She goes back and Fir'aun says, you take the baby. I will protect you. I'm killing every single boy. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. And I will give you compensation for feeding this baby. When people become righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them rizq for feeding their own babies. The mothers are feeding their own babies and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them salaries for that. I don't know if you understand. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ This is our problem, honestly. This is our only problem. Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, SubhanAllah, he has mentioned this story of Sayyidina Khidr and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and majority of us know that. You know, this wall that Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam erected despite of the fact that was falling, and he erected that despite of the fact that the people of the town did not take care of them. And Sayyidina Musa asked him, why didn't you take any compensation for erecting this wall? And later on, when he was explaining why did he do whatever he did, what did he say? He said, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. That this wall, boy, it is, وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. That under the wall is the treasure for two orphans, for two yatims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that he protects this treasure for these two orphans. If the wall had fallen, the treasure would have been exposed and people would have come and taken. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that I erect the wall so that nobody is able to look at the treasure, so that when they grow up, they will take out their treasure. Why? Allah ta'ala says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. One of their person, somebody in their generation was salih, was a righteous man. When people become righteous, not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects their generations. This is what happens. But this is what we need to understand. I was telling this story yesterday as well, that Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, very righteous Khalifa, when he was on his deathbed, somebody came to him and he said that you have oppressed your children. He had 11 sons. And he said, you have oppressed your children because you're not leaving anything for them in your inheritance. You have not accumulated, nor you have not saved any wealth for your children, you have oppressed them. And when he heard that, he got so upset, he got up on his deathbed. He said, you know what, I have taught my children righteousness, taqwa. I've taught them righteousness, and if they are righteous, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them, I don't need to worry about them. And if they're not righteous, I'm happy I'm not leaving anything for them, because they will just destroy my wealth in sins. And he passed away. The Khalifa that came later, he was a very righteous man as well. So they had 11 provinces in the country. So he wanted to make one person a governor for each province. And he started looking around in the community, who is the best person to take ownership of this, who can be the governor. And he did not find anybody better than the 11 sons of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He made all of them the governors of one province each. Allahu Akbar. And people have written that those people, those kings who had come before Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who were not that righteous, their children were begging at the doors of the Jami Masjid of that town, while these 11 sons of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz were the governors of that province. فَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. You know, one of the sheikh, mashayikh in our silsila, Hazrat Khaja Abdul Malik Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. It's a true story. He said, when my sheikh gave me khilafat, he says, my resources were very, very low. I did not have enough. So he said, my parents got me married. I already did not have much to survive. Now I have a wife to support. And he said, my wife was a very patient woman. But of course, it was very hard to live in those cases. So he said, I always used to ask my sheikh, my hazrat, you know, please make dua for me. And he said, he always used to say that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala's ma'iyat, His company is with the people who remain patient. So he said, once, one day, my hazrat, he sent me a 10 kilogram wheat and a letter along with that. He sent me a bag of a 10 kilogram wheat and a letter. And he said that you put this wheat in a container, put this letter in the container and cover the lid. And you make a hole in that container and you take wheat out of that. Yani don't open the lid, put the wheat in a container, put this letter in, cover the lid and make a hole in the container and take wheat out whenever you are in need. So he said that it has been 40 years and I'm still using that wheat. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Another sheikh, you know, our Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Ahmadan Barakatuhum, his sheikh, Mawlana Ghulam Habib Rahmatullah Alayh, his sheikh was Hazrat Khaja Abdul Malik Siddiqui Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He, Hazrat has told this story that at the time of the partition of the subcontinent, 1947, There were a lot of riots, how do you pronounce that? I'm very confused, and you know, subhanAllah, the South African pronunciations are very interesting sometimes. I love the R, by the way. Robots. I said, this is a robot, you know, subhanAllah. I was very confused. Some people were telling the direction, you'd stop at the first robot and the second robot. And I was, and then I was told it's the traffic light. So a lot of riots happening. Right? People were killing. And especially in the Punjab area, if you know, the Sikhs were killing, like, a lot. And he had a madrasa in Punjab. So he said that to all of the people in the madrasa, nobody is going out. Nobody is going out. And he said to the teachers, to the students, that if you have to go out, go, but come quickly, but take my permission. So one of the teachers, he asked Hazrat, you know, can I go? I have a very important thing to take care of. Hazrat said, you can go, but come back quickly. So this teacher, he goes out, and when he goes out, and he also says, don't mess up with these Sikhs. So when he went out, he saw that there is one Sikh under a tree, and he called him. So rather than, you know, running away from him, he said, he might hurt me, he went to him. And this Sikh asked him, where did you bring the army from? Where did you bring the army from? He said, I kept quiet. So he said that we have tried many times to come and attack your madrasa, but every time that we came, we found out that there is a huge army, all armed, weapon around your madrasa. Where did you bring that army? He said, I kept quiet and went back and told Hazrat the whole story, and Hazrat said, yes, this is the army of Allah. Ye Allah ki fauj hai, jo Allah ne hamari hifazat ke liye bheji hai. He said, this is the army of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for our protection. And he says, it has happened because I make sure that none of our students sin in the madrasa. Allah. Wa yatawalla salihin. True story. So please, you know, this is the solution to all of our issues. All of our issues. When people become people of Allah, then subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of every single thing. Anybody tries to be against them, Allah ta'ala says, as if he says, you know, deal with me first, and then you can take care of him. Ana, what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a hadith Qudsi, that man aada li waliyan faqad aazantuhu bil harb. Whoever has any ill feeling, animosity for any of my wali, I declare war with him. There are only two places in the whole Shariat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war. One is people who give and take in trust, or, you know, are they're engaged in trust, who witness the interest transactions. That's one in the Quran. And the second is whenever anybody has any bad feelings, animosity for a wali of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I declare war with him. SubhanAllah. Allah ta'ala takes care of him. Every single word that he speaks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that is fulfilled. You know, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once in the Ramadan, he was appointed initially that he should look at that if it's Subh Sadiq or not. And he would inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, it's the true dawn, so you stop eating. So once he came, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eating his suhoor, he said, Ya Rasulullah, asbahta Ya Rasulullah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, morning has come. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, Bilal, it's not morning, go, go, go. And he continued eating. After some time, he again came. Asbahta Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, morning has come. Yani, in other words, stop eating. He said, Bilal, go. Bilal, see, the Bilal was very worried. Third time he came, he said, Wallahi, asbahta ya Rasulullah, by Allah, morning has come, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating, stopped eating. He said, Bilal, morning had not come before. It's still not morning, but because you have taken an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has caused the morning to come early today. SubhanAllah. They say a word and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that it's fulfilled. You know, there's a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, you know, his aunt, Sayyidina Rubay radiallahu anha, she broke the teeth accidentally or by, you know, some, these things happen. She had some physical interaction with one of the girls and she broke the teeth of the girls, of the gun. Said, Anna Rubayya Ammatahu, is submitted by Anas, that Kasrat Thaniyata Jariyatin. So subhanAllah, she said, once she did that, she was upset. And she asked that, oh, please forgive me. And she sent, went to the family, and all, everybody went to the family, please forgive what I've done. But these families said, no. Qisas. Yani, you have broken the teeth of our girl, we'll break your teeth. We'll break your teeth. So, subhanAllah, they said, we'll compensate for it. They said, no. Qisas. That's it. They were stubborn. So they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intervened. He said, alright, they're offering compensation, chale, forgive. He said, no, qisas. So, Sayyidina Prophet said, what could he do? Right? He was their judge, qadi. And he said, alright, the teeth will be broken. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, oh, will the teeth of my aunt be broken? He got very upset. He said that will the teeth of my aunt be broken? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Anas, kitabullahi al-qisasu. What can we do in the book of Allah? Allah Ta'ala has given us this ruling. So subhanAllah, he said, that la walladhi ba'athaka bilhaqi la tuksaru saniyatuha. He took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah, that the teeth of my aunt will not be broken. Look at the situation. Everybody is intervening. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intervening. And everybody, they refuse. No compensation. Nothing. We are not forgiving, but the teeth will be broken. He said, no, by Allah. La walladhi ba'asaka bilhaq. By the He who has sent you with truth, or Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her teeth will not be broken. When he took that oath, subhanAllah, the family of the girl came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we forgive. We forgive. And they were the ones who were not ready to forgive when they came and they said, we forgive. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inna min ibadillahi man law aqsama ala Allahi la'abarra. That there are some ibadullah that if they take an oath in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills their oath. Any word that they speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that these words are taken care of. Allahu Akbar. So please, we need to understand this. There's another hadith, you know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu as an imam to Kufa. So the people of Kufa, they complained about Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when Sayyidina Umar, they heard about the people of Kufa are complaining, he asked Sayyidina Sa'ad to come back. It's a hadith in Bukhari Sharif as well. He asked Sayyidina Sa'ad to come back so that there is no more fitna out there. So when he came and he said, Sa'ad, why are people complaining? Why are people complaining? They were complaining that he does not lead the prayers right, in the right way. So he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, أما أنا والله فإني كنت أصلي بهم صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أخرم عنها أصلي صلاة العشاء فأركض في الأوليين وأخف في الأخرين. That I just lead the way Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to lead. I lead Isha, I prolong the first two, I make the other two short. What's wrong with that? So Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه said, ذاك الظن بك يا أبا إسحاق. This is what I expected. I know that you have never done any wrong, but I just brought you back so that there is no fitna. So then what he did, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu anhu with some other few people and said, go and ask the people of Kufa that what are their complaints. So they went from the masjid to the masjid to the masjid to the masjid, and everybody said, we don't find any issues with Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Everybody. Until they reached a masjid which was called Masjid Bani Abs. So when they reached that masjid, فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ قَتَادَ يُكْنَ أَبَا سَعْدَ. Then a man stood up called Usama bin Qatada, his kunyat was Abu Sa'da, and he said that I have three complaints regarding Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu. He says that when he sends the troops to the for fight, he does not go with them. Number one. And he says that the second thing that he does is that when the booty of war is brought, he does not distribute it properly. And also when he gives the judgment, he is not just in giving his judgment. Three complaints. Sayyidina Sa'd got upset. You should remember who is Sayyidina Sa'd. He's from Ashra Mubashara. Sayyidina Sa'd said, Ama wallahi la ad'uwanna bi salatin. I make three du'as. Allahumma in kana abduka hada kadiman. Qama ri'an wa sum'atan fa'atil umrahu wa'atil faqrahu wa'arridhu bil fitan. Allahu akbar kabira. He said, Ya Allah, if this man, he is kadib, he's a liar, and he's just showing off, Ya Allah, I make three du'as. Increase his age. Not for anything good, so that he suffers in his age. And he says, Ya Allah, increases in poverty. And Ya Allah, put him into fitnas. And people said, وَكَانَ بَعْدُ إِذَا سُئِلَ يَقُولُ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ مَفْتُونٌ. This man, when he became old man, people used to call him an old man who is drowned in fitnas. You know, subhanAllah, in this old age, when all of his hair became white, his eyebrows became white, subhanAllah, at this age when we should be getting ready to go into our grave, this man used to tease small little girls on the streets. SubhanAllah. And he used to say, I'm the dua of Sa'd. He made that bad dua for me, this is the result of that. Don't mess up with the people of Allah, please. Don't mess up with the people of Allah. But you have to also become people. We all have to become people of Allah if we want to also gain the benefits, that guardianship, that protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, we can't even pray our fajrs. Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying through the blessed words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ صَلَّ صَلَاةَ صُبْحِ فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. Whoever prays the fajr prayer, he is in the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here are we thinking that, oh, I can take care of all of my stuff during the day. Not even getting up for fajr. So many people, they complain, this one complaint, oh, please make dua for me, I cannot get up for fajr. SubhanAllah. And here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking responsibility of these people, that you pray, get up for fajr, I will take care of all of your stuff. And in fact, the hadith goes on, and he says that don't mess up with these people, because you are messing up with the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the people have prayed the fajr prayer, they are in the responsibility of Allah. If you go and mess up with them, then in other words, you are sort of challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. And here we are not even praying. So please, we all need to become people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need to become those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And we also must love the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ, that I love the people of Allah, although I'm not from amongst them. But then he used to say that I have a hope that because of my love for the people of Allah, I will be raised on the Day of Judgment in their company. So please, this is our deen, my friends, my elders. We have to do tawbah from every single sin that we have been doing. Every single sin. Not 99%, 100%. I know it is difficult for a few people, especially people who have grown old like myself, who have crossed the age of 40. Unfortunately, things have been so much established in our system that it's so hard to get rid of them. But, you know, this is what our life is all about. SubhanAllah, you know, I've seen people, you know, in this country that we are all scared of the things outside, because there is no safety, there are crimes, there are people actually come and they rob and they steal and they kill and all of these sort of things. And I've seen people hanging all of these ayat of the Quran for protection. They put all of these electric wires on top of their walls. There are tanks people have put in their houses, mashallah. Caspers. Mashallah, it's all good, there are asbab. I'm not saying don't do that. But remember, the true protection comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true protection comes from Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala knows your enemies. Allahu a'lamu bi'a'da'ikum. He knows your enemies. We don't know who is going to come and attack tonight.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is planning against us. When He knows, then why don't we give our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Allah, You keep us in Your protection. So please, this is the true protection. If we become righteous and we leave all of the sins that we do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us in this dunya, of course, and also in the hereafter as well. But for that, we have to do true tawbah from our sins. We have to, if all the things that we feel it is difficult for us to get rid of it from our system, inshallah, at least try. Koshish to kare. Aisa to nahi hai ki, alright, I get angry, what can I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kareem, is so generous, is so raheem, is so forgiving, is so merciful, that even if we realize our mistakes at the age of 60, 70, 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject us. Kabhi bhi nahi. In fact, He is calling, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. You know, what has deceived you from your such generous Lord? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? Come back. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not away from Allah. And Allah ta'ala is there to protect us. He wants, by the way, He wants that we enjoy the blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not made all of these blessings for the people, only for the people who don't believe in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all, provided all of these blessings that me and you also enjoy that. But for that, we have to become people of Allah. Some people have it, outward blessings, but they don't have the peace of the heart. Isn't it? Subhanallah, so many people, so rich, you can go into their house and they have every single thing that you can think of. Subhanallah, somebody, he called me once, they invited me over the meal, and you know, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala had given them everything. But when I was about to leave, He said, I want to talk to you in person. And I went to talk to Him, and subhanAllah, He started crying with tears. He said, you can see all of these blessings that I don't have any peace in my heart. I take sleeping pills every single night in order to sleep, me and my wife. And subhanAllah, I thought, with wealth you can buy the best of the mattresses, but you cannot buy sleep with wealth. Sukoon comes with the zikr of Allah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Let's go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do tawbah from all the sins that we are doing, and inshallah you will find peace in your life. Barakat will come. Walau anna ahlul qura amanu wattaqaw la fatahna alayhim barakatun minas sama'i wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you leave every single sin, I will open the barakat from the heavens and the earth. You will feel these barakat in your life. You will feel the barakat of Islam. You will feel the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, may Allah ta'ala give all of His tawfiq to understand it and also to implement these things in our life. And be Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to do true tawbah from every single sin that we are doing. For that, we sit with the mashayikh. That is what they do. We learn ilm from ulama and we develop our hearts in the company of the mashayikh. This is the whole idea of hooking ourselves, taking bayat. MashaAllah, I'm so happy that in South Africa people understand this concept. In other countries you go and you have to try to make them understand this concept. Alhamdulillah, people understand this. This masjid understand it. SubhanAllah. So please, let become those people. Connect to mashayikh. Sit in their company. Do askar that is prescribed to you on a daily basis. InshaAllah, leave sins and you will feel these barakat. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. What time is Isha? Azan? Inshallah ta'ala, before dua, if we can recite the kalimat of tawbah, inshallah ta'ala, with intention, with sincerity, that I'm going to do tawbah from all the sins that I've done. MashaAllah. You know, you must all hook up with some shaykh. Whoever you are comfortable with. If you feel that your heart is connected, MashaAllah, mashaykh, come with this community. Please, you know, whoever you feel comfortable with, you have your love for, please go and connect to him. Please, I recommend to all of you that if you are still not hooked up with any shaykh, whoever your heart gets inclined towards, please take him, take bayat with him, and hook yourself up with him, inshallah ta'ala. You know, that you will feel the barakat of that, inshallah. Inshallah, if you recite this kalimat with the intention that I'm doing tawbah from all the sins that I've done in my life, inshallah, alhamdulillah, wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, amma ba'd. So we can recite this kalimat, say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala wal ba'si
بعد الموت آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلت جميع أحكامه إقرار باللسان وتصديق بالقلب أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Inshallah, these are the kalimat. There are few ma'amulat that our mashayikh have taught. If you're already bait with a shaykh, and please do the prescribed ma'amulat that he has given to you. Please, you know, do pabandi of the ma'amulat. Please, you know, do it on a daily basis. Whatever has been prescribed to you. Others, there are few ma'amulat that our mashayikh have prescribed. And that one is, you know, doing istighfar every day in the morning and in the evening. 100 times each. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Second is salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every day, morning, evening, 100 times each. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. That's also to be done 100 times morning, evening. Third is recitation of the Quran every day. Please, even if it's little, but open the book of Allah, recite it. And the fourth is something called muraqabah. Muraqabah is in reality doing the zikr of Allah ta'ala in the heart. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Do the zikr of your Rabb in yourself, أي في قلبك, يعني in your heart. So the way to do that is that for some time, you sit in isolation and close your eyes with this intention as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming onto my heart, and as if my heart is doing the zikr, Allah, 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 and as if I'm listening. Don't say it with your tongue. Just sit with this intention as if Allah's mercy is coming on my heart. Focus on the left-hand side of your chest, a little lower on the left-hand side of your chest, as if it is doing Allah, 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 as if I'm listening. Just sit with that intention. You know, 10, 15, 20 minutes of muraqabah every day for the beginners. Very powerful zikr. 4 ma'amulat, but very powerful zikr. And also at the same time, please have istizhar of Allah. Always have this feeling, Allah Ta'ala is looking at me. We sin sometimes because we think nobody is looking. But if we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking, inshallah ta'ala, we will be able to control our nafs and these shaitani thoughts, inshallah. Then Allah is looking. Also, please follow sunnahs. Please recite masnoon du'as. Inshallah, anytime if you ever slip, unintentionally, do tawbah right there and then. Please, but become people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please be people who don't do any sin in your life, inshallah. You will feel that your whole life is changed. You will feel the barakat, inshallah. Theek hai? Dua se pehle, inshallah, before dua, if you can do muraqabah for a couple of minutes, inshallah, close your eyes for some time. Connect to Allah. Sit with this intention. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming onto my heart. And as if the heart is doing the zikr of Allah with this beautiful name. Allah, Allah.
किससे मांगे कहां जाए किससे कहें और दुनिया में हाजत रवा कौन है सबका दाता है तू सबको देता है तू तेरे बंदों का तेरे सिवा कौन है कौन मकबूल है कौन मरदूद है बेखबर क्या खबर तुझको क्या कौन है جب تو لیں گے عمل سب کے میزان پر, جب تو لیں گے عمل سب کے میزان پر, تب کھلے گا کہ کھوٹا کھرا کون ہے. اولیاء انبیاء اہل بیت نبی تابعین و صحابہ پہ جب آ بنی, سب نے سجدے میں گر کر یہی عرض کی, تو نہیں ہے تو مشکل کشا کون ہے. کس سے مانگیں, کہاں جائیں, کس سے کہیں, اور دنیا میں حاجت روا کون ہے. سب کا داتا ہے تو, سب کو دیتا ہے تو, تیرے بندوں کا تیرے سوا کون ہے. لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ. دعا کرنے, سبحان ربی الاعلی الوہاب, الحمد للہ رب العالمین, اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك, يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا, وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان, واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها, أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى, يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين. يا الله please accept this gathering from all of us. يا الله please ignore our shortcomings. يا الله the lack of my ikhlas. يا الله all the things that have been said wrongly, يا الله unintentionally. يا الله we beg you, يا الله, that you despite of our shortcomings, يا الله you accept this gathering from all of us. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Rahimin. Ya Allah, tonight, this very moment, we do tawbah from all the sins that we have been doing. Ya Allah, please accept our tawbah. Ya Allah, we don't give you any excuse for any sin, any disobedience that we have done. Ya Allah, all what we say is that we have been oppressing ourselves. Please forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our tawbah, tawbatun nasuh. Please, Ya Allah, make us consistent in our tawbah until our death, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you, please save our iman. Please save iman of our children, Ya Allah. Please save iman of every single person who is going to come until the day of judgment from our generations. Ya Allah, please we also beg you that you accept all of us for the service of your deen. Ya Allah, we know we are not qabil to serve your deen. Ya Allah, but we also know it is not about qabiliyat, it is only about qubuliyat. Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, provide asbab from your infinite treasures. Ya Allah, for the service of your deen. Ya Allah, keep us, Ya Allah, away from all shurur and all fitnas. Protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, all the people who have asked for du'as, please fulfill their needs from your treasures with barakat, with afiyat, with khair. People who are sick, Ya Allah, spiritually or physically, please grant them perfect cure, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, please protect the masjid. Ya Allah, people who are doing khidmat of the masjid, the musallin of this masjid, Ya Allah, please protect them, their families, their generations. Ya Allah, the anwarahat of this masjid. Ya Allah, please. Ya Allah, let people take face from these anwarahat until the day of judgment. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make this markaz a markaz, Ya Allah, of the spread of your deen in this city, in this country, and to every single corner of the world. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen.
Ya Allah, please give us a life of iman, of your rida, Ya Allah, of your pleasure, and a death of your pleasure. Ya Allah, allow us to recite kalima as our last words. Please fill our graves with noor. Ya Allah, fill it with light. Make the questions easy for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the day of judgment, please raise us from amongst your muqarrabeen. Please give us our books in our right hands. Please give us the shade of your throne. Please give us water from the blessed hands of your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please, Ya Allah, grant all of us his intercession. And let us all please enter paradise without any reckoning, any questioning. And give us a space in the blessed feet of your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most of it all, Ya Allah, grant all of us your perfect vision, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't know how to ask. We are your beggars. Ya Allah, we don't know how to beg. We beg you, Ya Allah, that you grant us the best of the dunya and akhirat without asking. And allow us to use our dunya for our akhirat. Ya Allah, with barakat, with khair, with afiyat, with wusat, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana, innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khulqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Alhamdulillah.